Welcome to my podcast, Soul Expansion and Inspiration. My name is Ali O'Shea, and this is Series 2, Episode 2. Today, I would like to welcome Nigel Miller, a fellow Irishman who only lives a stone's throw away, as they say here in Ireland, to my show. Nigel is also a podcast host, and his podcast is called Journey Within. He is also a published author, and his book is called How to Remove Negative Beliefs and Free Your Mind. Welcome, Nigel. It's a pleasure to have you here today.
Hey, Ali. Thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure to be on here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's so lovely to see you, a fellow Irishman, as I said, only living down the road from me.
Absolutely.
So, you say you've been fascinated always with mysticism and spirituality ever since you were a child. You used to watch documentaries about Buddhism or Buddhist monks, which is a little unusual, wouldn't you think, for a child. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about what got you into that type of viewing?
Well, I wouldn't say it was unusual. It just happened to be the stuff that was on TV in the evening time when I was at home. I just have memories of watching martial arts movies and kind of Bruce Lee movies, and just always kind of seeing the guys meditating, and the, you know, the Shaolin Kung Fu guys, and they'd be doing the meditations and they'd be real disciplined. And there was just something alluring about it. You know, there was something powerful there that I couldn't really put my finger on as a child, but there was just some sort of power that I kind of aspired to. So martial arts for me was, yeah, I suppose it was kind of the start of my spiritual journey with regards to my curiosity, you know, with regards to kind of mysticism and the unknown. But yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, as a kid, when you see a martial arts movie, you see some guy and he's doing his karate chops and he's kicking ass, essentially.
Very focused, isn't it? You know,
yeah,
very
exactly. Focused. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's just something that is empowering, you know, and for me, yeah, that's kind of where it all started, you know?
Fantastic. Your mom got you to read The Celestine Prophecy as a teenager, and that was the first book you read about energy. Tell us a little bit of your story as to where, like, what led you on from there to delve into sort of the etheric realm, kind of energy field world.
I don't know. Like, I mean, I think I read that book around 14 when I read it. I think my mum had read it, and then she said it was a really good book. It was very popular at the time. It was around 1995, I think it was. Yeah, it was just, she just basically said, this is an amazing book, have a read of it. So I just started reading. I didn't really understand it at the start, but as I kept reading it, I kind of got into it and kind of got into the flow of it. And it just talked about, like, you know, different people, how kind of different emotions, we kind of have different energy frequencies, and how different emotions kind of, you know, vibrate at different levels and stuff like that. And that certain people can see other people's energy. So that for me, like, I mean, I suppose I'd watched a lot of sci-fi as a kid. So, you know, I kind of related to it in that sense. I didn't really understand the spiritual aspect of itself at that age, but, yeah, it just kind of, it was just cool. Like, it just, it really, really swept me away. I really got into the story and it was very intense. And, you know, I just remember having very vivid imaginings as I was reading the book. But as far as kind of getting kind of into energy work later on down the line, I mean, it didn't happen for a long, long time. You know, not until I was like 30 years of age, I got involved with some Tibetan monks. I was at the Mind Body Expo in Dublin, and I was walking past kind of this guy. There was this woman kind of lying on the table, and this guy was lying on one of those beds, and he was just waving his arms over. And, you know, obviously I couldn't see anything, but I felt it. Like, as I walked into kind of that area, I suddenly felt this peace come over me. And my mum and my brother were with me as well. And I said to them, do you feel that? And they said, yeah. I said, oh my God, I have to go check this out. So I ended up signing up for a course with them and learning how to do energy healing and, you know, kind of projecting positive energy onto myself and kind of projecting it onto other people and stuff like that. So kind of, yeah, I suppose the Celestine Prophecy probably did light the spark of curiosity all those years ago. So yeah, it's kind of cool the way it kind of came back around, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually bought that book from my father a few years ago for Christmas.
Oh, wow.
And speaking of people seeing energy, obviously I'm a natural energy healer and a Reiki practitioner. I can actually see energy all here and here. And every time I do my lives, everybody can see it. Well, anyone that can see energy can see it. Last night I had a little lady sitting here and I had a guide over here. So I can actually see who they are, but other people can tell me. So Yeah, it's pretty cool. Energy work is really cool.
It's next level stuff.
You know, my friend last night, she was saying, don't sit on the couch. So, yeah, you say that you've been inspired by Eckhart Tolle, Deepak Chopra, Joe Vitale, Jack Canfield, Michael Beckwith, and many other people. If you had to choose one, which one would you say was the biggest impact on your going down the road of spirituality? Which one has caused you the biggest influence in your life, would you say, if you had to choose one?
Well, if I had to choose one, I'd choose the first one, who was Deepak Chopra. When I was 20 years of age, I read The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. That was my first intense kind of spiritual experience as I was reading that book. So that kind of ignited the spark of kind of spirituality within me. And then 10 years later, I read The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, and that kind of reignited the fire. And then that's kind of when I decided to write my own book, you know, to kind of elicit a similar kind of effect for people. So, yeah, so I definitely Deepak Chopra and Eckhart Tolle would definitely be the kind
of
main
love
influence.
Them. Absolutely love them. They're amazing. Deepak Chopra, I often play his music on my lives. He's got the sutras. So the music to the sutras is amazing, but you can also get the instrumental version. So yeah. I usually play the instrumental version of Deepak Chopra's sutras on my lives. It's lovely, lovely music, really nice. You said that you've always been someone who helps other people with their internal struggles, and lots of people have been inspired by not only your writing, but also your speaking. So have you done live speaking engagements? And if so, what subject do you like to speak?
I've only really done one kind of live speaking engagement. I did it about 2 years ago. It was for the BNI, which is kind of a business networking meeting thing. And I basically talked about, you know, kind of motivational kind of stuff. But when I said that about the speaking thing, I wasn't really talking about public speaking.
Okay.
I probably should have clarified that. But just in general, like, I mean, if I kind of chat to my friends or chat to people.
You have a podcast.
And I have a podcast, exactly. And I've got a lot of positive feedback from that as well. I mean, I only launched that about a month ago, and already I've got like people all around the world kind of saying that they're really loving it. So that's a good sign, obviously.
Yes.
But also,
and I've listened to some of the episodes. They're very good. So
thank you
very much. I recommend everybody to download them. So it's called Journey Within.
Journey Within, that's right. I mean, it's just something I've had my whole life. I've always loved people. I've always been interested, you know, with people and how they think, you know, how they think about things. And I've just always liked to kind of be there and kind of, you know, give advice. Now, sometimes I might give too much advice, you know, but I mean, I'm passionate about kind of helping people kind of get over stuff in their lives, you know, and kind of get them out of their own limitations and stuff like that. So it's just something naturally. I mean, ever since I was even a kid, I used to kind of do that. Like, even if my dad was upset about something, I'd always try and help him kind of see things differently. And, you know, so it's just kind of been a natural part of my kind of makeup as a human being, you know. So I've been very lucky to have that, you know.
Absolutely. And so, you know, your background sounds very lovely, your family background. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your family and your background? I mean, it seems like you grew up in a really loving, supportive family, like with your mom giving you the Celestine prophecy. And I know that you hang out with your brother still and things like that.
Yeah. Like before I was born, my real dad ran away before I was born. So I kind of had abandonment issues as a kid growing up. So that kind of did affect me in a negative kind of way. But at the same time, my mum was always there for me. She was very loving. She was very supportive. She always used to say to me, treat others as you wish to be treated. And as a kid, I used to laugh at that and go, ha ha, what the hell does that mean? Like, and it was only until I got, you know, grew up and kind of got into spirituality. And then I actually learned that is actually the golden rule, which is essentially the law of attraction. You know, what goes out comes back. So I have my mum to thank for raising me with that kind of core philosophy. I suppose with regards to like my family now, I mean, my mum's kind of separated from my dad. But basically, like, yeah, I mean, we have a really nice little core family, like the three of us. And we just, you know, we kind of live close to each other. We kind of live in like a 30 kilometer, 40 kilometer radius of each other. And we're always meeting up. We do have a nice little kind of network going. So we do have a nice bit of stability there, which is really, really nice. I have been very, very fortunate with regards to, you know, I have been raised to be kind of a conscious person and to be very aware of how I treat people and stuff like that. So yeah, no, I am blessed. I am definitely blessed in that sense.
Beautiful. Thanks for sharing that with us. You're also a DJ, isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
You were, or you are?
No, I am. I do it on and off, like just do kind of parties and stuff like that from time to time. Kind of do outdoor parties and stuff like that in the summertime. Just for fun, basically, you know, yeah. Just with our friends and stuff like that.
Well, it's important to have a fun element to our lives, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yeah. You got to do it all. You know,
that's can't what wait I to come to one of your dance parties.
Absolutely.
I'm waiting for the invitation.
It's in the post. But my attitude is, look, you know, whatever you're passionate about in life, you just got to go ahead and do it, and it doesn't really matter if it's connected to other stuff in your life. Like, obviously I'm an author, I'm, you know, have the podcast and stuff like that, big into my spirituality, you know, but I also love going out and partying and enjoying myself as well, and having fun with people. So, you know, now I don't really drink regularly. Like, I'll drink from time to time if I feel there's an occasion, if there's something special going on. I wouldn't be the type of person who kind of drinks all the time, but I do understand the value of being able to go out and let go and, you know, enjoy yourself. So for me, I just think, yeah, it's just, you got to be open-minded in life, and you've got to kind of open yourself up to all the different kind of avenues where you can express yourself and enjoy yourself, you know?
Absolutely. And if I presume you meditate.
I do, of course.
Would you like to tell the listeners one of your favorite, if you listen to guided meditations, do you have a favorite one, or what is the way that you like to meditate? Do you prefer to just listen to your breath or listen to a clock ticking?
I do a standing kind of meditation where I kind of stand in a horse stance, which is kind of a karate kind of stance, where you kind of just stand with your feet kind of, you know, rooted into the ground, your knees bent a little bit, your kind of hips kind of straight, your back straight, your kind of hips pushing forward a little bit. And I would stand like kind of with a kind of triangle pose with my hands. And just kind of stand grounded and just kind of feel power kind of flowing through my body, and just kind of visualize, you know, things going well for me. Like, I might say, I bless today with pure positive energy, or I bless this meeting with pure positive energy. I'll say something with regards to pure positive energy, because that's kind of what I learned to project when I was doing the energy healing. So I'll just intend something. Like, if I'm going out for the weekend with my friends, I might intend for the week, you know, bless the weekend with pure positive energy or whatever. It's just basically it's setting up an intention, a positive intention for the outcome that you're about to experience. And for me, it's extremely powerful. You know, it's extremely powerful with my relationships with people. It's extremely powerful with my interactions. And I just think having that kind of positive intent, you know, it's something that, you know, for me has changed my life. You know, just kind of going into any situation and just expecting positive outcomes, and just, you know, having that kind of joyous abandon as well in the moment. You know?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And expectation is a powerful thing. And intentions are so, so important. I don't know if you know, but a few weeks ago it came up in my memories that I had set intentions to go back to the USA to host workshops there and to host workshops here in Ireland and to work with some people. And it popped back up on my memories a few weeks ago or a couple of weeks ago. And of course, they've all come true. So the power of intention setting is immense. It's really important that we, you know, set intentions and are so clear and specific to the universe, God, whatever you want to call it.
Absolutely, 100%. Because, I mean, you're not going to manifest if you haven't defined what it is that you're intending to manifest. Now, you mightn't believe that you can manifest it, but by defining it is the first step. When you define it, it's the first step. It might be something that, it might take 5 years to happen. I mean, my book, when I wrote my book, How to Remove Negative Beliefs and Free Your Mind, I had the original idea for that book when I was 20 years of age. But I didn't get the kind of inspiration to begin writing it until I was 30 years of age. So that was 10 years in, you know, a manifestation, 10 years in the making. You know, so, and also actually one of the guys that I follow in the US, Steve Seabold is his name. And he was talking about there recently that he's, for 40 years, he's wanted a tennis court in his house. And it's only literally in the last like 2 months, he's actually going ahead and getting it done. But it literally took 40 years for him to manifest that into reality. You know, better late than ever, you know.
Justin Perry from Your Creators, he was visualizing. He used to work, I think it was in a factory. I don't know if you've heard of Justin Perry, but he's huge. He's from Your Creators. And he used to work in like a factory, and he used to visualize and tell his colleague in the line, you know, as he was passing stuff down, I've got this amazing house in Florida and it's got a swimming pool. And he used to describe it to him every day. And he said, you know, like his colleagues were thinking, you know, you're nuts. Well, Justin Perry in the last 2 years moved into this house in Florida and he's got it.
He's living it. And that's the thing, you know, abracadabra, like it's Aramaic and it means I create as I speak.
That's right.
I create as I speak. And like when you were a kid, abracadabra was like opening doors, abracadabra, and you know, the magician or whatever, abracadabra, revealing something. So I was like, that one word, we've all been raised with the power of that word, abracadabra, but that's essentially what it is, speaking into reality what, you know, what you wish to create. And yeah, many, many times I've seen that, you know, with regards to that, you know, it's fascinating. But yeah, that's amazing. So he was actually speaking to someone in work.
It was for years. Yeah, I don't know how many years. I can't remember. But yeah, because actually myself and Tony Doyle were actually going to go to Florida instead. But I chose Vegas because I love Vegas this year for our workshop, Manifesting Miracles. Yeah. But I was like going, I want to go to Justin's house and gatecrash his house and we'll go for a barbecue and have a dip in the pool.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that'll probably be the next one that we do. You know, we'll go to Florida or something and meet Justin Perry. That would be awesome.
Definitely.
So do you have little practices aside from your little meditation pose that you do, which is lovely? I've never heard of that one before, so thanks for sharing that with us.
You're welcome.
Do you have other little rituals that you do? Like, do you journal? Do you script? Do you just sort of your intentions and things like that? And
yeah, I mean, I always kind of have realizations about things that might come into my mind, and I'll have the notepad app on my phone and I'll just write down like inspiration or stuff like that, like if I kind of hit a higher level of thinking. So I'm always kind of in that creative mode essentially. But like one thing that influenced me over the years was a talk by Amy Cuddy, a TED talk, and it was about power poses, like power as in power. No, she's not Irish. I'm not sure if she's, I'm not sure exactly where she's from, but she, yeah, like power poses. So basically you stand in a kind of a, you know, with your hands kind of out like that for like 2 minutes, and like it'll actually change your physiology. So for me, that's something that I do as well. And she also has another pose called the Wonder Woman pose, which you basically stand with your kind of hips.
Yeah, we touched on that actually in the Consciousness Creators this year.
Oh, there you go. So that's that was Amy Cuddy, yeah. And yeah, so it's kind of, it's hacking your physiology to change your psychology, you know, because your physiology and your psychology are like a feedback loop. So a lot of times people think, oh, I have to control my thoughts. But no, you don't. I mean, if you can hack your physiology, like for example, breathing, if you learn to control your out-breath, like slow down the rate of your out-breath, that activates your parasympathetic nervous system, which is your rest and recuperate response. And if you learn to breathe out slower than you breathe in, you'll actually notice that that will change your physiology and you can actually relax a lot more. And there's a thing years ago I learned as well called the ocean breath. And it's basically breathing out the way I was saying. But what you do is you put your tongue to the kind of, you know, this kind of the roof of your mouth, this kind of a little kind of a little curve there at the top of your mouth there. So you basically put the tip of your tongue in there and you breathe out through your nose, but you breathe out kind of like as if you were fogging a mirror. You know, that kind of, you know what I mean? When you fog a mirror. So you do that, but you do it with your kind of through your nose. So you kind of go.
Right.
Kind of like the karate masters you see in the movies, yeah. You know, the martial arts, and they're doing all that and this stuff, and they're breathing out and they go, you know, that type of stuff. So it's similar to that. And I think that's probably where I got that that inspiration from years ago when I was a kid, we were talking about before. But yeah, so I mean, breathing is very, very important. You know, learning to become conscious of your breathing and controlling your rate of breath is extremely important because of your physiology. And just going online and just Googling about it, you know, kind of biohacks and stuff like that. You know, really, really important to kind of get access to that because, yeah, your physiology is one of the main influencers of your psychology. So if you can learn to hack your physiology, your psychology will follow.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. I hope the listeners learned something new there. So do you want to talk to us a little bit about your book, what inspired you to write it, and where can people purchase it, etc.?
Okay. My book is called How to Remove Negative Beliefs and Free Your Mind. It was inspired by, as I said before, Deepak Chopra and Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now and Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. They were the two books that kind of, you know, blasted open my awareness with regards to consciousness and how the way we think affects our experience of reality. So essentially when I wrote that book, I kind of had the pure intention to recreate those kind of types of realizations for people as they read my book. You know, so I didn't write the book about my spiritual experiences. I wrote the book to kind of, you know, create, you know, spiritual experiences for people. And the beauty of it was that, you know, literally the first like few reviews that I got after I released it, people were like, oh my God, it's changed my life. And oh, you've totally changed my perception of reality. Thank you so much. And, you know, I just got these incredible people saying, this is the best book I've read in my entire life. And, you know, just yeah. this absolutely beautiful, beautiful reviews. And the thing about it was, for me, like, it wasn't about my writing ability or how great I was, you know, it was nothing to do with that. It was that pure kind of gratitude that came back to me because I created something for someone that, you know, did exactly what I had created it to do, which was to, you know, raise their awareness, you know, raise their kind of sense of happiness and sense of personal power in their lives. And for me, that was the most kind of rewarding thing for it. You know, and it's I just love it. I love that, you know, yeah. when you create something for someone and they truly appreciate it yeah. and they, you know, it does exactly what you intended it to do. And yeah, for me, there's nothing better than that, you know.
Beautiful. I agree with you. Yeah, when you take your ego out of the equation, you know, because obviously doing what I do, I get messages from all over the world all the time yeah. That I'm changing lives. And there is no better feeling really than the gratitude and changing people's lives and knowing that you've changed people's lives for the better, you know, from a complete polar opposite to what they have been to, as I yeah. said, the polar opposite. It's just one of those feelings that makes your heart sing. It makes you feel so good inside to know that you've helped other people, all of those things. So good job. I'm so pleased that you wrote
right back at you.
And, you know, I'm sure that it will continue to, you know, help other people. And I know that you're thinking about maybe possibly doing a revised version.
Yeah, I am thinking about that because I wrote it back in 2013. And yeah, I just think I could probably do a revised version at some stage. Probably over the next 12 months, I'll probably look into doing that.
At some yeah. And I think, you know, part of the reason that we do revise versions of things, because I'm revising my workshops at the moment, is because we know more now than we did then, yeah. you know, and we've grown even more ourselves and expanded even more ourselves. So we can bring even more knowledge to the people and to the universe.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that's brilliant. Do you think you'll write another book?
Yeah, it's funny. Somebody asked me this a few weeks ago. I mean, yeah, I will definitely write more books. Definitely. I mean, I've got so much, you know, so many notes over the past few years that I've taken down. I could probably write about 10 books, yeah. You know, but yeah, no, absolutely. But I mean, I suppose the thing about it is the podcast that I launched recently, Journey Within, that is essentially kind of, you know, just another format for me to be able to express my message. So, you know, kind of, yeah, that's kind of building on the book essentially. But yeah, it's just all about expression, whatever way you do it, whatever format you use, whether it's a book, whether it's a video, whether it's a podcast, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
For me, it's just about getting your message out there, you know,
and inspiring others, isn't it?
Exactly. Just getting the message out there and helping people kind of to realize their own innate ability to, you know, have a more enjoyable sense of living in their lives, you know, and just being more appreciative as well. I think it's also important, gratitude. Not just for the sake of manifesting more good in your life, but just, you know, it's the right thing to do to be grateful for what you have. I just think there's a principle of rightness there, you know, to be so, you know, to just realize how blessed we are, especially like living kind of in Western society where we just have all these amenities, we have all these luxuries that just seem so, you know, normal to us now. But I mean, if you know, people have had power cuts in their house and they're like, oh my God, the electricity is gone, and they have to sit around for 3 hours lighting candles, and it's only then
playing
when
cards.
You and playing cards, exactly. And it's only when you lose like those luxuries that you go, oh my God, yeah, you know what, it's pretty amazing that I have that. It's only when, you know, they say you don't know what you've got till it's gone. So I just think it's very, very important to always remember that, you know, all the good that you have, and just kind of, you know, stoicism, like, you know, that stoicism where, you know, they kind of say that to visualize negative things. I know that goes against the law of attraction, but sometimes it's good because it makes you appreciate stuff. If you just imagine all the good and not having that, you know, as well, it kind of just puts things into perspective. And I think a lot of times, and even to myself, you know, sometimes I do take things for granted. So I kind of just have to remind myself, you know what, things could be a lot worse, you know, and things are very good as they are. And, you know, just feeling blessed and just being thankful for your blessings in life, I think is such a powerful kind of, you know, foundation to kind of operate from spiritually and mentally as well.
Beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. Would you like to talk about some of the guests that you've had on your podcast, maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I had Dieter Kolt, who's he's basically a former professional ice hockey player from Austria. And he was on, he was absolutely beautiful guy, lovely, humble guy. You know, we were talking about, you know, kind of team spirit in you know, athletes and stuff like that. And, you know, how important it is to kind of, you know, work together and work with each other. And we're talking about the educational system as well, kind of, you know, introducing life coaches into the educational system. Which is funny because actually Tony Doyle, who was one of my other guests there recently, we were talking about a similar thing. And Tony actually works in the, you know, in the school system in America, you know, helping kids and stuff like that, right, using the skill sets that he has from life coaching. So these people and kind of see the stuff they're doing in their lives and just kind of see all the different skill sets they have and how they're using that to better the world, you know, because I kind of, for me, it's just a case, like, I want to use my podcast as a platform to help people kind of realize what's possible for them in their lives, you know?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we can limit ourselves with regards to the possibilities that we think we have. And I just think it's so important for people to kind of, you know, realize there's so much more out there for you. If you just apply yourself and if you're just willing to kind of put yourself out there and take risks, a lot of times they can pay off in a big way, you know?
Yeah, face the fear and do it anyway.
Exactly, absolutely.
choose love, not fear. That's another saying.
Yeah, 100%.
You say that without adversity, we wouldn't be who we are today. You have had many dark times in your life, but the good always prevails as long as you stay true and authentic to yourself. Would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
Did I write that?
Yes, you did. Well, I added authenticity.
Yeah, you did, didn't you? I was wondering, I was like, what's that? That's extra word thrown in there. But no, you did it for what do they call it? Doing it for descriptive effect.
Stay true to yourself, which is authenticity.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I always find like we go through, you know, a lot of times we go through adversity and sometimes we forget that kind of positive part of ourselves. And I just think it's important to always kind of realize that, you know, the good within you will always come back around, you know, I just think for myself, it's kind of hard to explain, but just times in my life where I've gone through darkness and I've kind of lost all faith, you know, when something's gone really, really bad. But I think back and I always think that I always had a little flicker of faith that it was going to turn out okay. Even in the worst times, you know, I always had that little bit of faith within me that it was going to turn out okay. And it always has, you know, and I think you always do survive your adversities, even when it seems that everything's gone wrong and it seems like you couldn't possibly survive. But, you know, I just think the indomitable power of the spirit, you know, the indomitable power of the spirit, you know, the power of the indomitable spirit, which is that pure positive energy within you, has the pure power to prevail through any adversity. So I just think that's something that, yeah, it's something that I've lived my entire life. And I just think, just trust in the good. Trust in the good that you are and believe in yourself. And I know that sounds cliche, believe in yourself, but, you know, believe in yourself at the core level of who you are and know that the good within you will always prevail.
Exactly. And the good of the universe, because things are always, you know, happening for a reason. People come into our life either for a lesson or a blessing. And nothing is a coincidence that happens. We go through contrast. So we should be embracing it because, you know, at the end of it, we come out the other end, as you say, a better person.
Yes.
You know, with more strength.
Yeah, and more compassion as well, because you can then look at other human beings that are going through struggle and you can kind of go, okay, well, you know what, I've been through that myself. And you can kind of feel a lot more, you know, a sense of compassion, a sense of understanding. And it just, I don't know, it's nearly like it kind of feeds into feeling that connectedness with other people, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of just being able to relate to what they're going through, I think is also important. But I mean, look, we all go through stuff in life. I mean, it doesn't matter how successful you get. It doesn't matter, you know, how high you fly. You know, you're always going to have to deal with adversity in some way, you know, whatever way that may be. But I think just having that, you know, positive attitude and just, you know, just being true to who you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, and trusting it in the universe. Absolutely. 100%.
Absolutely. And having good friends around you as well is also important, I feel, as well.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So where can people contact you should they wish to, and where can they purchase your book? It's on Amazon, I believe, is it?
Yeah. The book is called How to Remove Negative Beliefs and Free Your Mind. It's available on Amazon. My website is nigelpaulmiller.com. I only just put that up recently. It's just a very basic website. I'm going to get it, going to get work done on it probably over the next month or so. But yeah, so basically it's just got my contact information and stuff like that. If people want to reach out to me.
All those websites, just so you know.
Oh, once again.
breaking up there.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I said synchronicity strikes once again.
I know.
So that's about it. The one last thing. My podcast is called Journey Within, and I'm available on all the platforms, iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, etc. So that's how people can get a hold of me.
Brilliant. And I really recommend that they tune into your podcast and obviously go over and purchase a copy of your book on Amazon. Again, the book is called How to Remove Negative Beliefs and Free Your Mind. Well, thank you so much, Nigel, for being here with me this evening. It is in Ireland.
Absolutely. Ali, thank you so much for having me on. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've really enjoyed our conversation, and I hope I've provided some value for your wonderful followers.
I'm sure you have. It's been an absolute pleasure and enjoyed it immensely. Thank you so much. So we'll say namaste for now, and thank you and goodbye to the listeners.
All the best.